The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
This week's Parashah is Parashas Yisro. In Parashas Yisro, we have the Aseres HaDibros, the Ten Commandments. The fifth commandment, this is found in Shmeis Chof, Posuk Yud Beis, Kabed Esovicho Vesimecho, you shall honor your father and your mother, Leman Yarichun Yomecho Ala Adoma, Asher Hashem Elokecho Nesein Loch, in order that your day shall be lengthened on the earth which Hashem has given to you. Rashi brings from the Mechilton, Im Techabed Yarichun, if you will honor your parents, then your day shall be lengthened, Im Lav, and if not, Yiktzorun, then your days will be shortened. Shedivrei Torah neitrikun heim nidroshim mechlal hein v'lav mechlal u'mechlal lav hein. Mechlal hein lav u'mechlal lav hein. Because when the Torah ever makes a statement, we can infer the converse from it. Therefore, if you honor your parents, then your days shall be lengthened, and if not, your days shall be shortened. From the fact that we find that this mitzvah is written in the Aseres HaDibros in the Ten Commandments, and we know that the Aseres HaDibros, the Ten Commandments, play a very special role, because when Moshe went up to Har Sinai to receive the Torah, and he stayed there for 40 days and 40 nights, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu taught him the entire Torah, the entire written law, and the entire oral law, but still, on these tablets, the two tablets were engraved the Ten Commandments. So we see that this plays a very special role, because these are the 10 major commandments, major principles of the Torah, of which all of the other commandments are dependent on. So this gives us an indication as to the greatness of the mitzvah of Kabed Esavicha Vesimecho, that you should honor your father and your mother. The Rambam in Hilchis Mamrim, Perek Vov, brings a few halachos. Well, he brings many halachos, but I would like to quote a few halachos from the Rambam to give us an idea as to this mitzvah. In Perek Vav and Halacha Aleph, he says, Kibur Av Ve'Eim Mitzvahs Ese Gedola. It's a very great mitzvah to honor your father and mother. V'Chein Meira Av Ve'Eim, and the same thing to fear your parents. In another place in the Torah, it states, Es Hashem Elokei Ish Ve'Ovi V'Imei Tiro'u. Then a person must fear his mother and father. Shokol Ayson Akosim Bichfeidei Ubimeirov. And the Torah has compared the respect and fear to one's parents to the respect and fear that one must have to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to Allah Almighty. Kosuv Kabeir Es Avicha Vesimecho. It says you shall honor your father and mother. And also it states that you shall honor the Almighty. You shall honor the Almighty with what He has given you. So we see that the same expression that's used by the Almighty is used by your parents. In regards to fear, it states that you shall fear your mother and father. And it states that you shall fear the Almighty. Kederek shitziva al kfeit shmei hagodol umeirao, kak tziva al kfeidom umeirao. So from here we learn, this is what the Gemara brings. Gemara brings this in Mesech Tekidushin and Af Lamed and Lamed Aleph, that from here we learn that just as one is commanded to fear and to respect the Almighty, so is he commanded to fear and respect his parents. We also see a makalal ovi va'imai beskilo, va'magadit beskilo. If one curses his father and mother, then he's deserving, he's guilty of the death penalty. We find that if someone would curse the Almighty, then he would also receive the death penalty. The Torah has compared them, has equalized them, also in regards to punishment. When it comes to respecting your parents, there the Torah writes, first your father, and then your mother. Higdim aim lav lameda. When it comes to fearing your parents, there the Torah writes first your mother and then your father. It reverses the order. Lelameid sheshneim shovim. To teach us that they are both equal. That the same honor that you are required to give to one, you're required to give to the other, and the same concerning fear. Bein lameda, bein lekovet. Then the Rambam gives us an idea as to what does it mean to fear and what does it mean to honor your parents. Now, Locha Gimel, the Rambam says, Eze Meira Veze Kovet. Meira, to fear your parents, to show them respect, is Le Emid Bin Kemei. If your parents, your father, your mother have a particular place where they always stand, or for example, when it comes to Tfilah with Davening, your father would always stand in one place, then you're not allowed to stand in that place. Lo yeshiv im kemai. If he or she have a particular place where they always sit, then you're not allowed to sit in that place. Lo yeshiv dvorav. You're not allowed to contradict their words. If they say something, you're not allowed to contradict it. Vle machriya dvorav. And you shall not machriya as dvorav. What does this mean? For example, if there's a discussion or an argument going on between your father and someone else, you're not allowed to say that, in my opinion, my father is correct. Okay. That itself is not covered. It is not honor. Not respectful. Or you're not allowed to say, I agree with my father. Okay. That itself is a lack of respect. Le machriya es dvorav. You're not allowed to refer to your father by his first name. You have to call him my father, my teacher. Ezehu covet. What does it mean to honor one's parents? Machil. You must help them to eat. Umashke. You must help them to drink. Malbish. Umachase. You must clothe them, cover them, and mishalo'ov. If your father or mother are people of means, then you must give them all of this honor, but with their means. Vim ein momen la'av, vim yesh momen leben. What happens if your father or mother are poor and they cannot afford to provide for themselves, and the son does have money, then kefi may say, then the son is obligated. The son is obligated to support the parents. And Bezdin would be kefi, the time when we had the powers of the Botedinim. So then the Bezdin, it was the responsibility of the Bezdin of the courts to see that this was done. And if these children did not fulfill their obligation to provide for their parents, then the Bezdin would exercise their authority to see that this was done. And he has to support his father and mother in accordance to his means. And he helps them go and he helps them come and he serves them, just like a disciple would serve his Rebbe. In Halacha Vav, the Rambam writes, Echad Ish ve'Echad Ishu. A man and a woman, Chayovim b'Meira v'Kovet, are both obligated in the mitzvah of Kibbur Aveim. There's no difference. Elo, Sheish yesh b'yodei la'asois, v'yish she'ein b'yodei la'asois, sh'arei rishus acherim alecho. Except, a man is in a position where he can fulfill this to a greater extent. Therefore, the obligation is heavier on him than on a married woman, because she is not in such a position, because she's committed to her own husband. So therefore, the obligation on her is less. But what would happen if she's single, if she's not married, or she was married and now she's single? Then her obligation is the same as a man. Another halacha in halacha tesvov that the Rambam brings is chayavonim lechabed as eishes aviv. A person is also obligated to respect the wife of his father. This means the wife of his father, even though it's not his own mother, a stepmother. Afal bishein imay, calls man shoviv kaim, as long as the father is alive. Shezeh bichlal kveid oviv, because this is included in the mitzvah of honoring one's father. Now we're referring here to this type of fear and respect that one is obligated to a parent, which is far greater than he's obligated to a fellow Jew. We're obligated to have respect for every fellow man, right? But that's not what we're referring here. We're referring to these extra halachos. So when it comes to a stepmother, you're also obligated to fear and respect her, even though she is not your mother. Why? Because as long as your father's alive, if you will not respect her, so then this is an insult to your father. If you do respect her, this is honor to your father. And the same thing, v'chein mechabed bal imay. And the same thing, one is obligated to give respect to the husband of his mother, calls man shimei kayemes, as long as his mother is alive, even though this is not his father, because as long as by doing this, this is honoring your mother. This very briefly gives us an idea of what we're referring to and to the greatness of this mitzvah. The reason why we find this mitzvah in the Aseres HaDibros, in the Ten Commandments, and also we find it in particular as the fifth command, the Maral in the Sefer Tzeres Yisrael, Perek Mem Aleph, brings. The first command is Anechi Hashem Elokecha, I am the Lord your God. This means that everyone is obligated to serve the Almighty, because he is the source of all creation. Anechi Hashem Elokecha. I am the source of everything. Therefore, all creations are obligated to serve me. Second command is Lo yelecho elohim acherim. You shall not make other gods. The entire domain, the entire creation is mine. And the Almighty does not want to share this with anyone. Therefore, you shall not make other gods. The third command is Leisisa Hashem al Hashem elokech lashor, that you shall not use my name to swear falsely or in vain. So here the Almighty said that you must respect me and my name. In no ways shall you disgrace my name. Not only me, but even my name. Fourth command, Shabbos, Zochar Hashem HaShabbos LeKadshei, you shall remember Shabbos and sanctify it. What is the reason for Shabbos? Because Shesh Yomim, because in 6 days I created the heavens and the earth and everything, and on the seventh day I rested. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought all of creation into being. Because of this, therefore you must serve him. This is what Shabbos is. Shabbos celebrates the creation of the world. 6 days you shall work, and the seventh day you shall rest, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world in 6 days and he rested on the seventh. So here the Almighty is telling us that all of creation I brought into being, therefore you must respect me. It's going one step after another step. See, I am the source of all creation. There are no other gods in the world. Even my name you shall not disgrace. I have created everything in the world in 6 days, and the seventh day you rested. Therefore you must keep Shabbos, because this is a declaration and respect to my powers. Then the fifth command is Kabir Esavicha Vesimecha. Just like the Almighty brought the world in general into being, therefore you must respect and serve the Almighty, so with your parents. Your parents have brought the entire infrastructure into being, and therefore you must respect and fear them. Just as the Almighty was the source of creation in general, therefore you're obligated to fear him, so with one's parents, who brought all of creation into being, when it comes to the individual creations, therefore they must fear him, fear them. So we see that the parents play a similar role to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was the source of your existence. Your parents also are the source of your existence. The Almighty was the source of all existence in general, and the parents are the source of existence in particular. Everyone is obligated to serve the Almighty, because he is the one who brought them into being, and children are obligated to fear their parents, because their parents are the ones who brought them into being. Father and mother bring a child into this world. So we see here a very close relationship between the parent and the Almighty. And that's why it's right here in the Aseres Adibros. First, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I brought everything into being, therefore everyone must fear me and serve me and respect me. And he goes down point after point, until finally, the parents brought the particular children into being, and therefore they must fear him. A person must bow to his source. A person must recognize, and he must yield, and he must bow to where he came from. And in the particular instance, in the general instance, it's from the Almighty. In the particular instance, it's from a father and mother. Now, it might seem a little radical. How can you compare a parent to the Almighty? How can you say that the parents play a role as God themselves? This is not what we're saying. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says it. The Almighty says it. This is what the Rambam brought. That the Torah itself, the Almighty himself equalized it. In the same expression that he used, that you shall respect me, Kabed es Hashem mehincho, he said, Kabed es Avicha vesimecho. Same declaration, he says, this is what you should have for the parent. In the same expression that he said, you shall fear me, as Hashem Elokecha Tiro, he said, Ish Imei Vaviv Tiro, you shall fear your parent. Because the Almighty saw this, and he gave this role to the parent. And this is what the Gemara brings, Gimel Shutfin Bodem, that the parent becomes a partner in the creation
of the individuals together with the Almighty. Now this is a Gemara in Masechet Kiddushin. Gemara brings and Daf Lamed Omed Beis, the end of Omed Beis. Gemara brings Tana Rabbanan. Nemar kabedes avicha vesimecha. It states that you shall honor your father and mother. Nemar kabedes Hashem aheincha. It states that you shall honor Hashem from what He gives you. The same expression is used there. The same command. Hishva kosuv kveira veim lekveira mok. Torah equalizes the two. Nemar, it says ishvi aviv tirou. A man shall fear his mother and father. Nemar es Hashem lekecha tiro. You shall fear the Lord your God. Hishva kosuv meiras av ve'im le'meiras amokum. We see that the Torah equalized the fear that you should have for the Almighty with the fear that you should have with your parents. Nema mekale ovi vime meish yumos v'nema ish ki yikale lakov v'nosa chetoy. States that if you curse a parent, you shall be put to death. If you curse the Almighty, you shall be put to death. The Torah equalized the two. The Gemara says, not only is this not radical, see, but that the seichel, logic commands this. Why? Sheshleishtim shutfim ba'odam. Because when it comes to the creation of man, there are three partners. Tana Rabbana, the rabbis taught, Shleisha Shutfin Hein Ba'odim. The creation of man is brought about by three partners. HaKadosh Baruch Hu V'Avi V'Imai. The Almighty, one's father and one's mother. So, and we see the partners. The Almighty gave to man a capability of being a partner with Him in the creation of the world. How? By bringing children into the world. So it is true that a parent stands in the role of the Almighty Himself. Then the Gemara goes further. Zman she'odom mechabedes ovi v'imoy. When a person gives honor to his parents, Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Almighty says, Mala ani aleihem ki ludati b'neihem, v'kibduni. It's as if they are honoring me also, because I'm a partner with them. So it's one partnership. If you honor your parents, you're honoring me also, the Almighty says. And it's as if I live amongst you. Then the Gemara says, "Bisman shod the mitzayres of Yivimai." When a person brings anguish and aggravation to his parents, Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yofe Osisi Shleidat Beneihem. The Almighty says that it's very good that I don't live with them. He takes his shechina, he takes his presence away. Shil Molei Dati Beneihem Tziaruni, because if I would live together with them, so then they would give me aggravation also. So we see it's all dependent. That one who is honoring his parents is honoring the Almighty, because it's one partnership. One that causes anguish to the parents is causing anguish to the Almighty. When one honors his parents, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to stay in the house. When one causes anguish, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to leave. So this is why it's brought in the Aseres HaDibros, because it's speaking with the fundamentals of bringing creation into the world, and why it comes right after HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you should serve me because I am the source of all creation. You should serve me because I created the entire world in 6 days and I rested on the seventh. You should respect also your parents because they are also a source of creation. With this also is answered that the Ten Commandments were given on two tablets. 5 and 5. The first commands deal with mitzvahs between, the basic mitzvahs between man and the Almighty. The second tablet deals with mitzvahs between man and his fellow man. For example, it says, Leitirzoch resignate, and so forth. You shall not kill, you shall not steal, and so on. The exception to this is the mitzvah of kibur av v'em, this mitzvah, because that's basically dealing with man to his fellow man, and that's on the first tablet. The answer is, that's the fifth, the last command of the first tablet. Fifth. And that's not totally between man and his fellow man, because it's a shutfus, it's a partnership. The mitzvah of respecting one's parents is tied up with respecting the Almighty. As we said, because Gimel Shutfim Ba'odim, there are three partners. And when you respect your parents, so then you're respecting the Almighty, and vice versa. So therefore, this command is the link between the two tablets. It's the last of the first tablet, and from there we go into the second tablet. This is a link because it serves both as a mitzvah between man and the Almighty, and man and his fellow man. But this, the Maral explains another Gemara, which is brought here in Masechta Shabbat, in Masechta Kiddushin. Rabbi Yosef, one of the rabbis of the Gemara, so he used to say when he would hear the footsteps of his mother coming, Kasher Shoma Kare Di Imei, Shebosa Ilov, she was coming to him, Omar, he would say, Ekum Mikame di Shchinta da Asha. He would say that I will stand up, let me stand up, because the Shechina is coming. Shechina means the holy presence of the Almighty. Okay. When he used to hear the footsteps of his mother coming, so Rabbi Yosef would say, Ekum, let me get up, stand up, Kame Shchinta da Asha, before the presence of the Almighty. Why? The Shechina, the presence of the Almighty, that's from the word Shochein, Mishkon, which means to dwell. That's the part of the Almighty that is Mishaber, that joins itself to the person. Almighty is in the heavens, but he brings his spirit unto people. And that's called the Shechina. That's why it's called from the word Shochein or Mishkon, because he dwells amongst the people. Why does he do this? Because they are his creations. Because they come from him. They were created from him. So therefore, he imparts from himself to them. This is Shechina. Accordingly, since a person is also a creation from his parents, and they're partners with the Almighty in this creation, so they also impart from themselves and from the Almighty, because this is all one partnership, to the one that they have brought into the world. So therefore, Rav Yosef would say that when he would hear his mother coming, he would say the Shechina is coming. Because just as the Almighty himself gives of himself to the creations which have come from him, and a parent also, therefore, gives of themselves to the creations which have come from them, and they are all partners in this, so through them comes Shechina to the children. Therefore he said, Ekum, I will stand up and give honor to Shechinto, to the Shechina which is coming. Another interesting point. By the mitzvah of Kibur Av V'Em, it states, Leman Yarichon Yomecho, in order that you shall have length of days. In Va'eschanon, Parshas Va'eschanon, which is in Devarim, there the Ten Commandments are written a second time, because they were given twice. Moshe broke the first tablets. There is added a word. It states, Kabeh Savicha Vesimecha Kasher Tzivcho Hashem Elokecha. This is in Devarim Hey, Pasuk Tezayin. You shall honor your mother and father and mother like I have commanded you. Leman yarichon yamecho uleman yitav loch. In order that you shall have length of days, and in order that it shall be good for you, ala adoma asher Hashem elokecho nesin loch. In order it shall be good for you. So by this mitzvah it states, in order you shall have length of days, and in order that it shall be good for you. We find by Shiluach HaKan, there's a mitzvah in the Torah of Shiluach HaKan, that if you come upon a nest and there's a mother together with the children or together with eggs, a bird, you're not allowed to take it all. You have to send away the mother and take the children. You're not allowed to take it all. There also it states, there also it states, in order that you shall have length of days, and in order you shall have goodness. The Gemara brings, what does it mean, length of days? Length of days means you shall have days which are forever long. That's be'elim shekula oruch. It's in the world to come. Real length of days cannot be in this world, because no matter how long a person will live, it's still a short time. Real length of days is the world which is kula oruch, which there's no end to. So we see that from both of these mitzvahs, a person will be zeicher to arichas yomim, will be zeicher to real length of days and days of goodness. So why? What is the comparison between these two mitzvahs? The answer is, the Maral writes, in both of these mitzvahs, we find one is coming close, is cleaving to creation. Because when he sends away the mother, he wants to take the mother and the children of the nest. This would totally destroy the nest. Torah said, Leisikachayim alabonim, do not take it all. Shaleach tishaleach esayim, send away the mother. Just take the children. If he sends away the mother can go and she can give birth to other children. So he's not destroying creation, he's protecting creation. He's respecting creation. Now we might not be aware of this today, but someone who protects creation and he has respect for creation is cleaving to the goodness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why? Because when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world and everything that he created, it states, Vayar Hashem Kitov. HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw what he made and he said it was good. Vayar Ha'or, he saw the light, the Kitov, and he said it was good. He saw what he made on the third day and he said, Tov. He saw everything that he made and he said, V'tov me'od, it's very good. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu placed his stamp on all of creation that it was very good. The Almighty doesn't like people that do not respect the creation or do not protect it, and certainly those that destroy it. That's contrary to his, to contrary to what he brought into existence. The same refers to a person who honors his parents. What? Why should one honor his parents? Because a father and a mother bring a person into this world, because they have created him, they have brought him into existence, they were life givers. So when a person honors a parent, he is respecting the giver of life, he's respecting life on this world. You find people, especially in our times, where they have no respect for life. Life means nothing. If life means nothing, so kibud av v'aim, why should one honor his parents? What did his parents do? They brought him into this world, but they have no respect for the fact that they're in this world. They gave him life, but they have no respect that they have life. It's worthless to them. If that's the case, then there's no mitzvah of kibud av v'aim. But for one who values life, for one who values this world, for one who values creation, then he has to have the greatest respect for those that brought him into this world, that gave him life. And this is what the mitzvah is doing. So both of these mitzvahs, the mitzvah of Shiluach HaKan, where he does not destroy the nest totally in order that the mother can go and procreate further, or the mitzvah where he honors the source of his life, his parents that brought him into this world. So this person is showing great value and coming close to the source of life, to the source of creation. Creation and the force of life, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, is good. And from the source of the life comes life. Therefore, what will be his reward? His reward will be Laman Yarichun Yomecho. You will have real life. Real life means endless days. And Laman Yitavluch, days of goodness. Because the creation itself is good. From here we see how far we are from this concept, that we live today in times of total eschoso, total destruction. People have become totally destructive. Wars can destroy millions. It can destroy countries, entire countries. Exploitation of all resources means nothing. The whole emphasis is what is in it for the person. What can he get for himself? And therefore, there's no value placed on human life. There's no value placed on human endeavor. And there's certainly no value, therefore, placed on the givers of life. And from here is just the opposite of the creation which HaKadosh Baruch Hu placed his stamp, ki tov, that it is good. And therefore we become very far from the existence of good and arichas yomim, days which are good and long. The Gemara brings in Kiddushin and Lamed Aleph, Boy Minei Merav Ula. They asked the Merav Ula, Ad Heichon Kibur Ave'im. How far must one go in order to honor his father and mother? How far does the mitzvah go? Omalehem, she said to him, Tzu'eru Ma'os Evid Kekovi Mechud Be'ashkelein. He says, I'll see what, there was a certain goy, a non-Jew. He was an idolater. He lived in Ashkelon. With Doma ben Nesina Shmei. His name was Doma ben Nesina. See the way he honored his parents. Pam achas bikshe chachomim pakamatche b'shishim berbuas sochor. There was one time when the chachomim came to this person and they wanted to give him business with shishim berbuas, 600,000 worth 600,000 units of money. They wanted to buy something from him. And he had to get into his safe. And the key to the safe was placed under the pillow of his father. And his father was sleeping. And he refused to wake up his father. And he lost the deal. So for the loss of this business, he was prepared not to be Metzayra, not to trouble his father. Omer Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Rabbi Yehuda said in the name of Shmuel, show us a blazer. They asked the blazer, Ad Heichon Kibur Aveim, how far does this mitzvah go? Omer Lehem, he said, Tzuru Ma'os Evrichov Mechel Lovi Bashkel and Dom V'Nesina Shemai. He said a different story with the same person. He said, Bikshu Mimene Chachomim Avonim Le'efeid. There was a time when the sages came to him and he had some precious stones, Avnei Sheham, which were used for the garment of the Kohen Gadol on the shoulders and on the breastplate. And the Chachomim wanted to buy it from him, and they offered him Shishim Rebuah Socher, and they offered him a value of 600,000 units of money. Some say it was 800,000. V'hoyim Avteach Munech Tachas Marishas of Shalovi V'Leitziyaro. And again, the key to the safe was under the pillow of the father, and he didn't wake up his father, and he lost the deal. The next year, HaKadosh Baruch Hu paid this person a reward. Was born to him in his herds a Pora Aduma. A Pora Aduma is a red cow, a red heifer. A red cow. There's a halacha that we must have a red cow during the time of the Beis HaMikdash. We had to have a red cow for one of the particular services. From it, we would get a certain solution which we could be metame tohorim, which people, metaya tamein, people that were impure, we could purify them. This was called the Pora Aduma. And it was very difficult to find a Pora Aduma because it must be completely red. If it has two hairs which are not red, then it's disqualified. So something like this was very valuable. So to this person was born a Pora Aduma. So the sages came to him and they offered to buy the Pora Aduma. Omalehem, he said to them, he says, I know what this Pora Aduma means to you, what this red heifer means to you. You must have it. And no matter what price I will put on it, I know you will pay it. I can ask for all the money in the world, you'll have to pay it. But he says, Ein ani mevakish mikem, I don't want that. I only want the money that I lost because of the respect I gave for my father. So he asked for the 600,000, and he got it. So the Gemara says, "V'amar v'chanina umami sheina mitzuba v'isekach mitzuba v'esal achas kama v'kama." A goy, a Gentile, is not obligated in kibbutz avim. He's obligated on seven mitzvahs, and this is not one of the seven mitzvahs. So the Gemara says, Rav Chanina said, if someone who is not commanded on the mitzvah, and this is how he fulfilled it, so we that are commanded, how much more so? Because it is greater for someone to fulfill a mitzvah that he's commanded in than to fulfill a mitzvah that you're not commanded in. Then the Gemara goes one step further. Kiyosad Avdimi, when Avdimi came, and they asked him, how far does this mitzvah go? Omar, he said, this Gentile, Doma Ben Nisino, one time he was a Roman. One time he was dressed with Sirukin Shalzov, he was dressed in golden robes. And he was sitting together with the emperors and the great powers of Rome. He was sitting at a banquet. And his mother walked in, and she tore the robe. She was evidently not well. She tore the robe off of him. This was in public. She slapped him, and she spit at him. And he refused to say anything. Not only he didn't answer her back, but there's another girs on the side. Nofal kidarkun tidarkin shaleva shitalo shaletit styra. She evidently dropped her stick, her walking stick. So he went and he picked it up and gave it to her. So you see, he said even further how far this mitzvah demands from one, how much this mitzvah demands from one. Now, what is the Gemara bringing out? So the Maral says as follows. He says, firstly, why are we going to learn from a goy, from an anju? Why are we coming here all of a sudden to learn mitzvahs from an anju? He says, there are certain mitzvahs which are chukim. A mitzvah which is a chok is a statute. It means that if the Torah would not have given it to us, we certainly would not have fulfilled it on our own, because there is no apparent logic to it. Rashi many times in the Chumash brings, for example, kashrus. See, kashrus is something that there is no logic to. Or shatnes, klayim, different mitzvahs. This is what a statute is. There are other mitzvahs which are called mishpot. Mishpot is a mitzvah which we might have made for ourselves, even if the Torah wouldn't have given to us, because there's a very, very strong logic behind it. Kibbur Aviim, the honoring of one's parents, is from the strongest mishpotim. From the strongest mishpotim, mitzvahs, which carry a forceful logic behind it. Because logic demands that a person must yield to his source. A person must respect the one that brought him into the world. It's logic demands. Now, Goyim, non-Jews, they do things not because of mitzvah, because they're not commanded on these things. They do things because of mishpat v'din, because of the logic that demands it. So here the Gemara is bringing out how forceful and how great the logic is which demands one to honor his parents. Because this Roman, he wasn't doing it because he was commanded by a Kodesh Baruch Hu. He's not commanded. And we see three levels. According to the first level, he stood to lose business of 600,000 units of money. Because they had offered him, they wanted to buy merchandise for 600,000. So he stood to lose that. Still, logic demanded that he must honor his father rather than to make that money. Second story brings out even more. That was not all profit. If someone wants to buy merchandise from you for 600,000, the profit is only a percent. Story tells us that they came to buy the avonim, the jewelry, for 600,000 socher. The profit was 600,000. So even when someone stands to gain profit of 600,000 pieces of silver, still logic demands that he has no right through this to cause aggravation to a parent, even if he stands to make such a profit. And therefore he wouldn't wake up his father in order to get the key, in order to get the jewelry, to make this profit. Then the third episode brings even a further level. Alright, we see that profit should not take priority, even great profit should not take priority over the mitzvah of Kibbur Aviim. But perhaps you would say that when are you obligated in Kibbur Aviim? There's an expression that's used in Pirkei Avos by something else called Mechabdai Achabedo. Those that honor me, I will honor them. Perhaps you'll say that those that honor me, I will give honor to them. If my parents honor me, if my parents treat me nicely, then I will honor them. But if they have no respect for me, this is something you hear often, if they have no respect for me, so why should I have respect for them? Certainly, if they're going to insult me and disgrace me, so why should I have respect for them? So this is what the third story is bringing out. That even where they do not honor you, and even where they disgrace you and insult you, there's nothing to do with it. Still, you are obligated to honor them. Because you're not obligated to honor them because they're good to you. You're obligated to honor them because they have created you. They had a hand in creating you. So no matter how they act to you, they still have had a hand in creating you. So all of this logic demands, and this person saw this in there, and this is why he did it even though he was not commanded. So therefore the Gemara says, if that's the case by Misha, eina mitzvah v'aisa, by someone who's not commanded. Now we keep mitzvahs not because of the logical force behind it. We keep mitzvahs because HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded us. So if this is what someone did who was not commanded, So we that are commanded in it, in other words, in addition to the logic, there's the tzivui, there's the mitzvah, the command, al achas kama v'kama, so how much more so are we required? It's interesting to note, what was his reward? His reward was a por aduma, a red heifer. It's brought that from all of the chukim, from all of the statutes, the statute which eludes the logic mostly is the por aduma. Shlomo HaMelech said, I thought I was wise and I understood the reasons of the mitzvahs, but I see that it's still far from me. And this is what he said when he was studying the mitzvah of Por Aduma, the red heifer. And it's called Zeis Chukas HaTeira. It's a chok. And it states at the end of Parshas Bishalach, it states that when Klal Yisrael, before the giving of the Torah, right after they came out of Egypt, it says, Shom Som Lechekum Ishpot. There HaKadosh Baruch Hu took them and he gave them Chekum Ishpot. There's different opinions as to what he gave them. But some say the Chek was Por Aduma, the statute was Por Aduma, and the Mishpot was Kibur Aveim. In other words, the most logical mitzvah in the Torah is Kibur Aveim. The most illogical mitzvah in the Torah is Por Aduma. Right? So, and together they complement each other, they make a perfection. So this person was so zealous in the mishpat of Kibbut Aveim, so therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu rewarded him with a Por Aduma, with that which is the strongest of all of the chukim. From here we see how far the mitzvah goes. Even when there's a case of loss of money, many times we find that people are willing to do for the parents, but if you have to make some money, then the mitzvah is finished. I have to go to work, I can make some money, so no longer is there a mitzvah. From here we see not like that. This person stood to make tremendous wealth, and he didn't want to wake up his father. And he lost it, but still he still the Gemara praises how he had fulfilled this mitzvah. Also, we see that even in a case where it's difficult, even in a case where it's very difficult to respect one's parents for one reason or the other, still there's a mitzvah where we must do it. The Rambam brings Ar Heichon Hukibur Aveim. This is in Halacha Zayin. Afila not lekishel zuhuvim shalei v'yishlichu befonav leyam. Even if the parent would take a purse of gold, and he would throw it in front of his son into the sea. Lo yachlimum. You're not allowed to insult your father or mother. Vele yatzare bifnehem. You're not allowed to cause them anguish. Vele yichais kinegdom. And you're not allowed to become angry in their presence. Ele yekabel gzeres hakosuf yishtek. It's gzeres hakosuf. Kodesh Baruch Hu said that you must honor your parents under all circumstances. So you do it and you be silent. That's the respect. Ad hechon moron. How far is the fear? He's quoting this from the Gemara we read. Even if you're dressed in very royal garments, and you're sitting in front of the congregation, and your father or mother come and tear the garments, and they hit you on the head, and they spit in front of you, you're not allowed to insult them. You must be silent. And you must have fear for the King of all kings that has commanded you on this. What would happen if a human king would decree for you to do something? You would do it, and if he was a real king, a real monarch, you would do it, and you wouldn't say anything. So how much more so l'mishama v'haya a'ilam ketzayne, to the creator of the world? When we give honor to a parent, we must have in mind that we're fulfilling the decree of the Almighty. Therefore, we must give under all circumstances. Later on is brought what happens if a person, he has a parent who, nebuch, see, is not well. Is not well. And he or she becomes so difficult. Let's say they go out of their mind. And they become so difficult, where he isn't just, it's not within his power to treat them in the manner which he's required to. He keeps losing his temper, or he keeps losing his, he becomes impatient, or so forth and so on. Now we're not speaking in a normal situation, we're speaking that, let's say, they're very old, and they've been, and already they're senile, or whatever it might be. So then it's brought, then it's better then that he should engage someone else to take care of his parent, and he step back. Right? See that someone else, it's his responsibility to see that they'll be taken care of. But it's better then, if he cannot respect them properly, then it's better that he should fulfill his responsibility through someone else. Just to walk away, that's a great avera. Great avera. He has a responsibility. But he should fulfill his responsibility through someone else rather than through himself, and not in the proper way. Because it's as we see and we'll see further, it's a tremendous avera not to treat a parent properly. We see even where there's a loss, one is obligated. In Yoredeya, Simen Reish Mem, it's brought this halacha. It says, this that we say that you're obligated, this is in Simen Reish Mem Sif Hei, this that we say that you're obligated to feed and to give drink to your parents, so this is from their possessions. If they have their possessions, then you're not obligated to give from your possessions. You're obligated to serve them, but with their possessions. What happens if they have no possessions? They are poor. And the son has, then he's obligated to provide for them with his possessions. And he cannot say, look, my parents have no money and I don't want to spend any. The kefin, I say, bezdin hoya kefin, I say. And like we mentioned before from the Rambam, it was the responsibility of the bezdin to see that this was done. So if they saw parents that were neglected, they would go and see that the children supported them in the manner which they should be supported. Kifimashu yochel. If the children were wealthy, they would have to support the parents in a wealthy fashion. If the children were not so wealthy, all right, then they would have to support the parents in the fashion, in the manner that they could. Vim ein leben, what happens if he was poor, he had nothing? Well, then he's not obligated. He will not be obligated to go ask for charity in order to support the parent. So then he would not be obligated if he didn't have. Then is brought another halacha. If the son has, and he gives charity, and he has a parent that has no money, so that needs support, so he can use this money that he would give for charity, he can use it to support his parents. The fact is, that's what he should do. Because akor of korav kodem, like there's a phrase, charity begins at home. This is the Gemara says, akorav korav kodem. When it comes to charity, to tzedoko, you give to your closest relatives first. So if you have a parent that needs, and you cannot afford to provide for him, but still you have a little money that you give charity, then you must use that money. Mikol mokom im yodem esages, tovei me'era lefi, nemishim hispanis ovim emol tzedoko shalei. But If a person has, a person makes, he lives nicely, and his parents need. So what he wants to take from his money that he gives charity to support his parents, and that has brought a curse. If a person who has his own, and instead of using that to support his parents, he wants to cut back on his charity to support his parents, and that has brought a curse, Khalilah. That one is not allowed to do. Only if he's unable, if he has no, if he does not have enough. Then it's brought, if there are many children, so then the burden falls on all of the children. If some are wealthy and some are poor, then the burden falls on the wealthy ones, not on the poor ones. Chayev odom lechabe begufei afapishim etekak botom melachte. And a person is also obligated to provide for his parents, to care for his parents, even though this means that he's going to have to cut back on his work. See, and this is the source from the Gemara that we quoted. Even if it will incur a loss to him. If he is so poor himself that if he will incur a loss, he's going to have to go and ask for tzedakah for charity, then he's not obligated. But if he makes a living, except he wants to make a better living. Wants to make a better living. Like everyone does. Right? Want to live a little better. But meanwhile, he has parents that cannot provide for themselves. And in order for him, they cannot care for themselves. And in order for him to care for them, he's going to have to cut back on his working opportunities. Then he's obligated to cut back on his working opportunities. Or for example, let's say he wants to go out of town. If he goes out of town, he can make some big deals. But when he does go out of town, there'll be no one to care for his parents. He can stay in town and still make a living. But he cannot buy the BMW. So, no, he's not allowed to. He has to, even though it incurs a loss, as long as he's not driving himself into Khalilah, into the poorhouse. But even though it incurs a loss, then he's obligated in Kibbutz Avim, he's obligated to provide and to care for his parents. Another aspect of this halacha is one is obligated to listen to a parent and to care for a parent, but that's under condition that he doesn't break any laws of the Torah doing so, and under condition that he doesn't break any mitzvahs. For example, if a parent tells you to do something, you must do it. But what happens if the parent tells you to do something against the Torah? Then the halacha is, or if the parent tells you to do something and doing this you will not be able to fulfill mitzvahs, then you are not obligated to listen. Why? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Kabed es avicha ves imecha, you shall honor your father and your mother. But as Shabbos I tishmeru, but you must guard my Shabboses. In other words, you are obligated in their honor. Ba'akol chayovin b'chveidi, but everyone is obligated in my honor. Even your parents are obligated in my honor. So I command you to honor your parents as long as it does not infringe against my honor. When you honor your parents, you are honoring me. But if through honoring your parents you are rebelling against me, then you are not obligated. So this is another aspect. Then it's brought to halacha. It's brought in the Rambam and in Shulchan Aruch. It's Siv Yud Gimel in Shulchan Aruch. Talmud Torah godel mechved aveim. The study of Torah is greater than the honoring of a parent. Study of Torah is greater than the honoring of a parent. And it has an interesting source where we learn this from. But because of that halacha, so it's brought another halacha at the and Siv Chofei. It's brought Talmud Shereitza Lalechas Lemoka Bacher Shu Beteach Shira Simen Brocha Betalmude. If you have a disciple, someone who's studying Torah, and he has decided that he wants to go out of town to a yeshiva someplace else to study Torah. Why does he want to go there? Because he feels that there he will be able to see Shimon Brocho b'Talmudei lifnei harav Sheshom. There he feels that there's such a Rav, a Rosh Yeshiva, a Rebbe, that he'll be able to have more success than he'll be able to have locally. So he wants to go. So now there's a discussion, there's a dispute in the home. Father and mother say, no, you must stay here. We don't want you to go away. And he says, but I have to go there because I have to study Torah. So if there was no yeshiva locally, then they would not have what to answer him. Talmud Torah is Godel Mikivur Ave. The mitzvah of studying Torah is greater. But let's say there would be a yeshiva locally. So the parents say, what's the matter with the local yeshiva? Why do you have to go someplace else? So if he had nothing to answer them, then they would be right. He can learn Torah and at the same time be with them. He would be obligated to stay in town. But if he sincerely felt that the reason why I want to go there is because I feel I could have more success, I mean, and this is based on not just a fad, this is based on some type of basis. You know, he has reason to believe that there I'll be able to learn by that rov better than here. So what is the halacha? So the halacha is, and even if the father is mecher by lefisha deig shebeisir evrichovi malilim, actually it's an actual case, see, that was brought. The reason why the father didn't want to let him go there, this goes back in times when things were not like in South Africa today. Those times when anti-Semitism was very, very strong. And the father was afraid to send him to that city because he was afraid there were uprisings of pogroms and other things in that city. And he was afraid to send his son there. Still, the din is, Ein tzorech lishmei al avi b'zeh. One does not have to listen to his father in this case. Why? Because the Gemara says in Masechta Erevin, Lav mikol odom zeich lilmeid boy. To learn from someone and be successful, that's a schus. Not from everyone is a person zeicher to have success in Torah from. It's a schus to find a Rebbe that you'll succeed with. So if this person is feeling that here he's not having success, and he feels maybe over there he'll have success, so that goes into the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. And since Talmud Torah takes precedence is greater than honoring a father and mother, then he's allowed to go out of town, even though it's against their wishes, and even though he will not be able to be home for their pleasure and their company and to see their needs, to their needs and so forth. This is the halacha that's brought here. So this is based on the halacha of Talmud Torah, is Godel Mikivur Aveim, Talmud Torah is greater. Now there's a very interesting source as to where we learn this from. And from this we see how great Talmud Torah is, but we also see how great the mitzvah of Kibbutz Aveim is. The Gemara brings at the end of the first perek in Megillah, the Gemara brings, it says when Yaakov ran away from Esav, after Rivka told Yaakov, Jacob, to disguise himself as Esav and go to your father Yitzchok and get the brochas, v'yinachem Esav lahorge, and Esav was burning with revenge and he was planning to kill Yaakov for this. So Rivka wanted to save the day, so she said to her husband Yitzchok, I want to send Yaakov away, send him away to the house of Lavan so he'll find there a wife. So she sent Yaakov away. Yaakov left, he went to the house of Lavan. The Chazal tell us that on his way, though, he stopped into a yeshiva. There was the yeshiva of Shem Ve'Ever. The descendants of Neach, they had a yeshiva. He stopped in, and he learned for 14 years. He stopped there for 14 years and studied Torah. Then he continued his way, and he went to Beis El. And that's where he went to sleep, and that's where he had the dream, Sulam Mutzavarzu, and he saw the Malochim, and he saw the Shara Shomayim, the gates to heaven. Why did he have such a dream? Because he had just come from studying Torah for 14 years. Because I'll say for 14 years, he said, Vayolim Amokam Ahu, he slept there. But otherwise, for 14 years, he never slept in a bed. Then he went to the house of Lavan. He was in the house of Lavan for 20 years. He told Lavan, "Zeh li esrim shona. These are my 20 years. 7 years he worked for Leah, 7 years he worked for Rachel, and 6 years for the sheep." So he was there 20 years. On his way back, he took 2 years to get back. He stayed 6 months in Sukkos, and 6 months here, and in Beis El, and so forth. He took 2 years to get back. So he was away from his father for 22 years, plus 14 years in the house of Shem Ve'Ever. The Gemara brings that Yaakov suffered tremendous anguish when he lost Yosef. He lost Yosef, and he thought that Yosef was dead, and he was mizavel, he mourned for him, and this was his favorite son. And not only he lost the positive pleasure of having Yosef in his midst, and all of the serving that Yosef would have done for him, and the caring, but plus he had all of this sorrows. For how long was Yosef gone? Mother brings 22 years. See, 22 years, why? Because Yosef was 17 when he was disappeared. When he was, the Torah says that he became the king of Egypt at 30. He was the king of Egypt for the 7 good years. And then in the second year of the famine, of the 7 bad years, is when his father came down and was reunited. So 17 from 30. So this means he was 39 years old. He was 39 years old when they were rejoined together. And he was 17. So that's 22 years. Why did this happen to Yaakov? Why did it happen to Yaakov that for 22 years his son should be lost from him, his favorite son, and he lost this great pleasure of having his son with him and his son serve? So the Gemara says this was a midah keneged midah. Because he went away from his father for 22 years, therefore Yosef was taken from him for 22 years. This is what the Gemara says. So the Gemara says, if that's the case, so it should have been for more than 22 years. There was the 14 years, 22 years he was in the house of Lavan, but there was the 14 years that he was by Shem Be'Ever. So the Gemara says, the 14 years that he was by the Shem Ve'Ever, Lema Anish, for this he was not punished. Nimtzi Yosef Shapirish Me'Oviv Esri Mushtayim Shona, Kishem Shapirish Yaakov Avinu Me'Oviv, that we see that Yosef was taken from Yaakov for 22 years, just as because Yaakov did not serve his father Yitzchok for 22 years, but for the 14 years that he was in the house of Shem Ve'Ever, he was not punished for. From here we learn that Talmud Torah is Godel Mikivir Aveir. That he was learning Torah, that was not deducted from him. But for everything else it was deducted. So one thing we see is the great mitzvah of Talmud Torah, of studying Torah and of teaching Torah. But from the other aspect we see, this is really a tremendous fearful lesson. It tells the Rosh Yeshiva Ramot Chaiket Zichroinu Levracha. He would ask a question here, Akasha. He says, what did Yaakov do wrong? Yaakov left his house to run for his life. Vayinacham Esav Lahorge, Esav wanted to kill him. So Yaakov left the house to save his life. Secondly, Yaakov went to get married. That's a mitzvah. It's brought here that what happens if a parent tells a son, "I don't want you to get married." No, he's not. He must not listen. Or even if a parent says, "You must not marry this one," and he feels this is the one that's for him, he should listen to the etzah and the counsel. But if he feels this is the one for him, then he has to marry, because that's a mitzvah. So Yaakov went to get married, and not only did he go to get married, he went to get married to Rachel and to Leah. That from there he brought up the Yud Bei Shvotim, the 12 sons, the 12 tribes. So this is what Yaakov was doing. And still Yaakov said to Lavan, "Zeli Esrim Shona. These are 20 years, my years." So Chazal say, "What do you mean 20 years?" Yaakov knew this. He says, "These 20 years I spent in your house, they're going to come off of my cheshbon. I will be punished for them." For 20 years I have not been by my father. Ze li esrim shona. He says, they're mine. I will be paid for that. Yaakov knew that. So he left his father for 20 years and then 2 years on the way, 22 years. And because of that, Yosef left him for 22 years. Even though it was of tremendous importance what Yaakov was doing. The only years that were not deducted from him, the only years that were not deducted from him was the 14 years which he spent by the house of Shem Ve'Ever, studying Torah. So that's where we learn that Talmud Torah is greater. This gives us some insight into this mitzvah, into this very, very important mitzvah. And it's something which is very, very relevant all of the time. And also it's very relevant right here in South Africa today. Because you have people that for one of many, many reasons, they come to a decision that they must leave South Africa. Very seldom do you hear, when people think, should they leave South Africa, should they not leave, which is one of the hottest topics in town. Very seldom, though, do you hear, and you hear all of the considerations. The economy is better there, safer there, it's better living, better opportunities, so forth and so on, more future, whatever it might be. Very seldom, very rarely do you hear a consideration, maybe I should not leave because my parents are here. Because in the huge majority of cases, when people leave, they're leaving and their parents are remaining here. Maybe I should not leave because my parents are here. We're not saying, we're not paskening halachas, we're not giving final decisions here. But a consideration, a major consideration, it certainly is. We see that it takes a great deal in order to defer or exempt one from the mitzvah of Kibbutz Aveid. Even if it's a case of making more money other places. The Gemara praised him because he could have made 600,000 pieces of silver and he lost it. Not because he wanted to go away, he didn't want to wake up his father. Even if it means tremendous inconvenience. And by Yaakov Avinu, even when he was under great hazard, and still you hear all kinds of rationalizations. All kinds of reasons, justifications, self-justifications why a person should go. And very seldom do the parents come into the picture. And if you ask, what about your parents? They'll tell you, my parents want me to go. See? They want me to go because they feel there is a better future. I mean, if a person really felt that South Africa is a dangerous place to be in, then the first ones he should remove from South Africa would be his parents. But usually the case is they leave them behind and they go themselves. So again, everyone has his own individual circumstances that he must think thoroughly through. But when he thinks through those circumstances, he must learn to think like a Jew. And a prime consideration are the mitzvahs that a Jew is obligated on. And one of the greatest mitzvahs that he's obligated with is this mitzvah of Kabedes Avicha Vesimecho, which is part of the Aseres Hadibros. Which HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Hishvu Kfeidom Lefeidi, that I consider the honor that I have commanded you towards your parents to be equal to the honor which I have commanded you to me. Because Shleisha Shutvim Ba'odam, there are three partners in man that have brought us into this world. We should be zeicher to learn from this mitzvah, to fulfill this mitzvah, and be zeicher to the reward of Laman Yarichun Yamecho, that we should see length of days and days of goodness.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za. Via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at PO Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.